Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 80 on April 3rd, 2014. So, I have a ton of mail that I'm going to go through, and hopefully I'll get through all of it, and I'll be able to do it within a size of podcast that passes the WordPress blog upload 64 megabyte limit. So let's jump right in here. Welcome home, and thank you for your reports from CatalystCon. Someday, I hope to attend CatalystCon, and with any luck, be able to see you present or moderate another ASS panel. In your Sunday at CatalystCon podcast, you discussed gender fluidity, in which you mentioned, quote, men, end quote, who do not have prostates, and, quote, women, end quote, who do. Just a reminder, there are also those of us who are men who have faced prostate cancer and have had our prostates surgically extracted, radiated, frozen, or otherwise removed through no fault of our own. Granted, we are generally older and a minority, but many of us still enjoy and revel in being pegged. Please don't take this as a rebuke, just asking to be considered and included. I'm a regular listener, a huge Ruby Rider fan, and love being pegged whenever I can. Thank you for being such a great and enthusiastic resource. Keep up the great and important work. Wow, thank you for writing in. This is a good reminder. I did come across this some time ago in one of my previous podcasts. A woman had written in, and her husband was going to be having prostate surgery and have his prostate removed. And she was wondering how that would affect the pegging. They had just started exploring it, as I recall. So what I did was I went to the Aneros forums, and sure enough, if there was going to be any place I would find this information, I did find a man who was quite an enthusiastic user of the Aneros and the pegging, and he had had his prostate removed. He had prostate cancer himself, but he described how he still really, really enjoyed the intimacy and enjoyment of the pegging. I think he guesstimated that he had lost about 40% of sensation, but still, if it's a sensation that's exquisite and then you lose 40% of it, it's still going to be feeling pretty good. So this is a really good reminder that it's not always as clear cut. You know, not only is there gender fluidity, but bodies go through changes. And sometimes there's also people who take hormones and make those changes happen. So thanks for the reminder. And let this be kind of a heads up to all of you men out there who might be listening, who have had this happen, who have had prostate cancer and had it removed or radiated or whatever choice that you made to deal with that. That doesn't mean that pegging would never be of any enjoyment to you. In fact, it's something that you might want to explore, especially because many times when prostates are removed, you don't end up having a whole lot of erections after that. I'm not sure what the percentage is, but I know that there's a lot of difficulty in having a functional penis after that. So I believe that that was one of the points of the man that I spoke with at the Aneros Forum, was that it was a way that they could still join together, if you will, and have a lot of intimacy. So, yes, that is indeed a possibility. And thanks for your letter. Thanks for giving me a reminder. Okay, here's the next one. I'm pretty interested in the idea of pegging my husband, but I have some major hang-ups holding me back. I'm pretty intimidated by the thought of him enjoying it so much that vanilla sex is something he will grow to resent. I have never been able to have an orgasm from my G-spot, but I really enjoy penis and vagina sex with clitoral stimulation. I'm worried that he won't get as much pleasure from this once anal play is introduced. I know it's completely narcissistic, but I don't want him to lust after a dildo more than he lusts for me. Trying to figure out a way to get over this, any suggestions would be welcome. I want to add that I do find the opportunity to give him immense pleasure this way is a big turn-on. And it's signed by Confused. Thank you so much for writing in. This is a fairly common concern for women who are just beginning to explore the whole pegging adventure. One of the things that I would remind you, first off, is that a toy is just a toy. A toy is not a person. So at the end of the night, no matter what you do together. The toy gets cast off the side of the bed, thrown in the sink in the bathroom, wherever you put it, and it's you two cozying up together, two live people who have a history, who love each other, and who are together. So toys do not replace people. I think one of the things that concerns you is there's a lot of talk all over the internet, goodness, a lot of talk on my website, about how exquisite it feels to be pegged, to have that prostate stimulation, and it really does. Now, have there been men I have talked to who have liked it so much that they kind of get fixated on it for a little while, and that's all they want? Sure, there have been. And what I say to that is, if that happens with your husband, consider it this way. If all of a sudden you had someone come to you and say, okay, if I do this thing to you, you're going to have orgasms 10 times more powerful than anything you've ever had before, wouldn't you get a little obsessed with it for a little while? And I think these are all the things that are going through your head when you're concerned about that. Sure, it's 10 times more powerful, but that doesn't mean that's all you ever want to do. And even if he gets kind of caught up in it for a little while, then what I suggest that couples do is make a schedule. I mean, it doesn't sound sexy, it doesn't sound spontaneous, but what that does is it presents the couple with, here's how it works. If you're the guy and you love getting pegged, then every time you go to bed with your partner, you are wanting to have that happen. And there's maybe a push-pull of energy. There's a push-pull of, ooh, hoping, or maybe you ask and then she turns you down. And if you're the woman and you are going to bed with your guy and you're thinking, oh, he doesn't want that again because I'm really kind of tired of that. I'd like some plain old PIV with some clit stimulation. So instead of having that be something that happens every time you get into bed, and especially since pegging is something that many times for most guys requires some preparation and cleaning out, make a schedule. That way he knows that whatever you two agree upon, and have this conversation outside of the bedroom, whatever you two agree upon, whether it's once a week, twice a week, every other day, whatever works for you, make a schedule, if you will, so that he knows that that once or twice a week or however often it is, he will indeed be getting pegged. That way, not only can he prepare, but he can look forward to it. But most importantly, he can also relax and let go and enjoy whatever kind of sex you two have when you are not going to have a pegging night. So in this manner, you'll both get what you want. You will get those nights of close sex and the clitoral stimulation and the PIV. And another thing that you mentioned too, you said you've never been able to have an orgasm from your G-spot. Yeah, well, me neither. There's a ton of us out here, my dear. Ton of us women who have not been able to orgasm from G-spot. And I love PIV sex. I love it. With or without clitoral stimulation, I love it. So I would take a deep breath and here's the magic thing, of course, communicate with him. Tell him you have these concerns. Tell him that the idea of giving him immense pleasure is a really big turn-on, but you have these concerns. And that way you'll kind of head it off at the pass. And, you know, who knows? If he all of a sudden really, really enjoys it and starts to really want it, he will remember that you said that. And you'll be able to look at each other and kind of laugh and him go, yeah, I just want this all the time. But we know what to do because we've already talked about this. So communicate with him. Tell him that. Whenever you're exploring new territory, it's a good idea to talk it through a little bit first. But it's especially a good idea to let your partner know if you have any fears. So talk to him, see what happens, and let us know if we can play the music for you, right? Let us know how it goes, and good luck. Alrighty, here is the next letter. Hello, let me start off by telling you my name, which I am not going to say on the air. I love your podcast. I am a truck driver and listen to you every time you put a new podcast out. Okay, me and my wife are ready to start pegging, and we took the first step and picked up the spare parts Jacques harness, but we didn't get the dildo yet, and we're wondering if you could help us out. We have played with toys in my ass before, and we got a toy that is a little too big for me. Can you suggest a good beginner dildo? Thanks. I look forward to write you a successful pegging story. Can't wait. Please help. Thanks. Love what you do for us guys. Thank you, Mr. Truck Driver. Thank you for writing in. And yes, I do have a recommendation for a beginner dildo. My default beginner dildo would be the flare-based single, which is made by Vixen Creations, and it is called the Mistress. Perhaps I'm just in love with the name, but it also is the exact dimensions for a normal beginner. And I say normal beginner because it's not going to fit everybody. This is for someone who has had toys in their ass before. They're not intensely tight, and it is 6 inches long, and it is 1¼ inches in diameter, which is just perfect. So I think that that will do you just fine. And I am also looking forward to hearing your successful pegging story so I can play the music for you too. And you are so welcome. I am glad to help in any way that I can, sir. Okay. You know, I have to say this. Truck driver, you know how you guys have those compartments in the back? For some reason, in my perverted mind here, I'm thinking about her pegging you in the back of your truck. And I don't even know if you have a truck like that, but I just had to mention that. Why? Because I'm a little perverted and I get some visuals sometimes. So, you know, if that's part of the story, then for sure write in, tell us your story about how the pegging goes. Okay, here's the next letter. Let's see. Ruby, again, I applaud you and your bank of knowledge on the subject that has baffled so many. 2 years now, my partner and I have nearly made pegging a weekly thing in our senior lives, parentheses, 60 plus. She is the most considerate lover and didn't realize until she tried it just how much pegging my sweet ass, as she puts it, is a turn-on for her. Now, however, she has expressed interest in seeing the real thing penetrate my ass. I trust her emphatically, but having erectile dysfunction myself, that leaves me in the fields when another man is present that hasn't got this problem. And although I love it when she pegs me, how can I express myself of any feeling when it will be a real penis in my ass? I will do anything for her pleasure, but do I have something to worry about here with this desire she has and my willingness to please her? I would absolutely appreciate some feedback from your readers on this and any personal experiences they may be able to have. I am absolutely not gay or even bi, but if she desired it that much, I would rather be the one with her than for her to ever consider seeking it outside our relationship. Worried if she sees and feels something that I can no longer provide, it may become a thing of her wanting them more than me, but using my ass to get it. We love each other, wish to be together for life, and absolutely will not cheat on each other ever. We're in our early 60s and just damn well love sex and all that we can still do in it. Please help. Okay, this one took me a little while to get to, so I apologize for the delay in answering this, because I was delayed because of the going to CatalystCon in D.C. Nonetheless, here's my first thoughts about this. Jumping right into the issue of erectile dysfunction, one of the things that I would suggest is for you to consider, if you have not already, strapping one on yourself, strapping on the same one even, perhaps, that your wife uses if it will fit you, or purchasing another harness that allows your genitals, the double kind, that allows your genitals to be on the bottom and then a dildo on top, so that you can give her the ride of her life, even if your penis is not still functioning. This is one way for you to, you know, give her all kinds of different experiences, longer, bigger, shorter, thicker, whatever. So consider that. Now, getting back to the other thing, if, you know, you say that you really are not bi and not gay. And I heard that loud and clear. So my first instinct is to draw a hard line with that and tell her that you're not comfortable with it. It sounds like the reason that you are not confident in drawing that line is because you think that she will go out somewhere else and get it. I do not know what kind of relationship you two have in terms of what agreements you have, whether it's more of an open relationship, non-monogamous, or strictly monogamous. So that is also a question. And you don't say that if you were to go through with this, whether or not the man would be having any interaction with your wife. So that is another way to approach this. If you really want so much to please her and you have a relationship where you will do these things, then you could go through the experience, but talk with her beforehand and make sure that she knows that your hard limit is that he will not have any sexual contact with her. So that's another option. Because the way that you put it is, worried if she sees and feels something that I can no longer provide. Sees? Yeah, she could see a guy fucking you. And that might be really, really exciting for her. And it might be something that could possibly put a real spark in your relationship in terms of, you know, people talk about that. They bring a third into the bed once in a while, and it just totally sparks up their relationship. And it's only for a temporary thing or a one-time thing. So that's a possibility, but it does sound like you are quite uneasy, and understandably so, because of the erectile dysfunction. So there needs to be some kind of boundaries that make you comfortable regarding his interaction with her. Maybe she can't touch him, he can't touch her, and it's just a watching thing for her. So I'm not sure if that helps at all or not. Any of you readers out there that have had any kind of experience with this, please feel free to write in and or call in. I keep trying to get you guys to use that call line. And give us some feedback on this if you have any experience with it. It does seem like it might be less of a worry if you actually strap one on and do her. So because that way she could at least feel really thoroughly fucked in kind of the same way that you used to when your penis was more functional. So that's the best suggestions I have. Let us know how it goes, and good luck to you, sir. Okay, to our next letter here. Hi, Ruby. First, I would like to thank you for your excellent podcasts. The main reason that I write to you is that I was wondering if you could recommend a realistic strap-on and a harness alternative to what we have. Today, we're using a Jeff Stryker dildo and a Vaculock harness. Yeah, I know, but it still feels good. So after hearing and reading about toxic toys, and that my wife is not comfortable with our harness, the thought to get something new but about the same size has started to grow. I've been peeking at the spare parts Jacques harness, but can it hold a dildo in that size? What do you know about the products, dildos and harnesses, from babesandhorny.com? I really like the look and size of their realistic dildos. Also, if there's any good serious websites or shops that you could recommend, as we live in Europe, have a fantastic day. Okay, and I would like to point out that this man spelled the word fantastic with the lovely word ass in the middle of it. Well done, sir. Okay, the Jeff Stryker that you are using, I think, is a realistic type, not just in look, but in feel, if I am not mistaken. Doc Johnson sells two of them. One is made out of Silagel and the other is made out of UR3. The UR3 is supposed to be skin-like and resembling a real cock, but the Silagel, if I am not mistaken, is a bit softer than a regular 100% silicone dildo. So one of the factors that I'm thinking about in terms of recommending another dildo for you guys is one that is softer than a typical 100% silicone dildo. Now, you were looking at some of the realistic ones from Babes and Horny. Those are awesome. They're the perfect size for you. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of different choices, and there's ones in there that are almost exactly what the Jeff Stryker measurements are. But when they say realistic, what they mean is the looks, the veins, and the look of it basically is looking realistic. I don't think what you're going to get with that is something that is as soft. Now, only, you know, you've got the Jeff Stryker right in front of you. So if you go down to a store, a sex toy store anywhere, or if you have any other toy that's 100% silicone, like a butt plug or something like that, compare them. And if that Jeff Stryker is softer than what you're going to want, if you want the same feel of it, is you're going to want something with that's made out of a special combination of things. There are companies that make dildos that are skin-like, and I did an article on that a while back. Okay, and the reason that I think that is because you say it still feels good, so I'm not sure whether it's just because of the size or the actual texture and softness of it that you enjoy. So if the softness is part of what you really like, then what we're looking at is, there are a couple of choices here. One would be the Outlaw from Vixen Creations. That one is 8.5 inches long and 2 inches in diameter, slightly less in diameter than your Jeff Stryker. And the other ones are actually silicone ones that Tantus makes. I think Tantus doesn't make one big enough for what you want in their O2 line. So there's two lines of skin-like dildos that have passed all the criteria and are safe to use and are non-toxic. One is Tantus's O2 line, and the other is Vixen Creations' Vixskin. So if what you're wanting is one that feels more realistic, and what I mean by that is a harder inner core and a softer outer surface, then you're going to want to check those, and probably the Outlaw is the closest you can get to something that you really like. That is as well non-porous, sterilizable, and all those other cool things that make up a safe toy. If it's not an issue for that softness and you like the silicone feel and those are perfectly fine for you, then absolutely get one of the ones from Babes and Horny, and because those are nice ones. They look beautiful. That way you won't be paying exorbitant shipping to get it to where you live in Europe. Now, as far as the harness is concerned, the Jacques is not going to do for you, because as far as I'm aware, what I do know about it is that the O-ring is not interchangeable in those. It is sewn in. And it will take a 2-inch in diameter dildo. It's a bit of a tight fit. So knowing that your Jeff Stryker is about 2 1/8 of an inch, still, I would really look for something where you could have interchangeable rings in the harness so that you can make sure that your fit is right and you're not ruining the harness itself or stressing it out or making it feel uncomfortable. Your wife is interested in something more comfortable. So let's see here. Because they actually have some very nice harnesses at Babes and Horny, and they look great. There are a couple with interchangeable O-rings. And then once you get the kind that have those changeable O-rings and they're not sewn in, then all you need to do is just order one online or go down to your sex toy store, and usually they'll have some, and you get a bigger one to make sure that it fits the toy that you want. But they have some beautiful harnesses at Babes and Horny, and I think one of those would do you just fine. And then let's see, good serious websites and shops that you could recommend as we live in Europe. I don't really know any shops. I do know that some of the websites that are not going to charge you the exorbitant shipping because they are based over there are definitely Babes and Horny, and then there's also the Fun Factory. Fun Factory, I looked, and they don't really have anything at the size that you want. So I think you're on the right track. Babes and Horny looks great. And have fun picking it out and trying it out, and feel free to report back. I hope I've given you some useful information. Okay, next letter. My girlfriend and I have been pegging converts for about 2 years. When we first met, I wanted nothing to do with anything near my ass whatsoever. A lot of this is because I was molested as a kid, and the idea of ass play brought out feelings of great shame, and I wasn't sure how to deal with it. Once we finally tried it, I had multiple orgasms of the most intense nature. This was a liberating experience. I feel like I took something back that was stolen from me as a young boy. She made me feel safe, and the fact that the focus was on me and my needs stripped away my insecurities and shame, and I was simply floating in ecstasy. I wouldn't necessarily suggest this for everyone who has suffered sexual abuse as a child, because I don't think it would be therapeutic for everyone. For me, it helped put a few big issues to rest. Thank you for promoting this amazing sexual practice. I can't imagine any other heterosexual act which is nearly as taboo as pegging, and I'm glad there is someone out there trying to demystify it. Wow, what a letter. First of all, I'm so sorry to hear you were molested as a child. Very sorry to hear that. But I'm also really happy to hear that you found your way through via pegging. That is such an interesting story that you have. I know I've heard other people talk about having an emotional trauma or a physical abuse and finding healing through it by eroticizing it. And I really had to like put that through my head a few times. Like there was a man that I spoke to once who said that the first couple of girlfriends that he had both cheated on him basically and left him. He now, as a married man, eroticizes other men fucking his wife, and he's a cuckold, and that has helped him heal. You would think it would exacerbate it, you really would, but it has helped him heal. And then in a physical sense, and of course there's always emotions all wrapped in this too, as we've discussed before on this podcast, but in a physical sense, same thing for you. You were molested as a kid, but that very area of your body, having it eroticized and explored, really helped to heal that for you. And I am so glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that you were brave enough to go there. And it sounds like your girlfriend totally did it the right way, totally, and made you feel safe, which is one of the biggest things to always keep in mind, much less with someone who has experienced abuse. So I'm really happy for you, and it warms my heart to hear this story. I'm really, really happy for you both. So have fun with those multiple orgasms, sir. And thank you for writing in and telling us your story. Okay, this next letter. We went back and forth a little bit, this guy and I, because he wrote me and then I asked for more information and I got more information. So let me read you the whole thing. It seems you know some things about pegging. I recently got my girlfriend into pegging, but not really into it. Is there a way to change her mind on it, or do I have to just cope with it? Well, obviously, you can see why I wrote him back, because there wasn't nearly enough information there. So I wrote him this. Give me a little more information when you say she's not into it. Have you talked to her about it? Has she complained about any part of it? What equipment do you have? More information, please. So here he goes. He wrote me back. Okay, here goes the long story. Yeah, I came out to her about me liking anal play, and that I've played with myself before, but not with another. She was weirded out by it and thought I could be gay, which now I've been curious about wanting a real cock inside me, but still love my girl to death, and I don't see myself with a guy anyway. Well, she soon accepted my fetish, so we tried it. She started with fingers, but I wanted more. I asked her if I could, buy some toys. She said, yeah, sure. So I looked on the internet. I saw there was a deal online, and I got a little carried away. I bought 2 toys and a butt plug. Well, she was still hesitant at first, but she went along with it. She was surprised that I can take a 1.25-inch diameter so easily. She thought I was slutty. Well, as time went on, she moved away from the toys and told me no more, that she didn't like doing that anymore. I thought she would like to fuck me because she's so dominant to me regularly, but I find out she's the one that likes to be dominated. So that maybe that helped me to understand her a bit, that she is submissive in bed. The only thing I can think of that I might have liked it too much and she got weirded out. What do you think? Okay, you got a lot of things going on here, sir. First of all, it sounds like she got past the you're gay, but I find it ironic that you could take a 1.25-inch diameter plug and she thought you were slutty. Goodness sakes. I mean, sometimes people call their partner names in fun, but it's the reverse thing. It's slut shaming of a guy. Goodness sakes. So if she meant it seriously, I'm sorry to hear that. But so as time goes on, she moves away from the toys and told me no more. It doesn't sound like you ever really got the strap on and did it. It sounds like you were just playing with toys and she kind of did a flip on you. Well, some women have hidden parts of them that are dominant and some women don't. And the ones that don't and the ones that specifically identify more submissively are usually the ones that have a little bit of a harder time doing the whole pegging thing because what they really want is to have the guy run the show all the time in bed. So it is sometimes a little more difficult for them. And it was interesting that you found out that she's the one that likes to be dominated. So that's really good information. And if you're going to explore pegging, it's information that you can use to your advantage. Believe it or not, you don't have to throw your hands up and say, oh, well, she's submissive, so she's never going to fuck me. But you have to handle it carefully. And see, I don't know what level of dominance and submission you two have in your bed. Sometimes when people say dominant and submissive, it just means that you're the one that basically runs the fuck, and she is the one that receives you, and you fuck her, and you call the shots, and you decide what happens when, and that's being dominant. And on the other end of the spectrum, some people, when they say dominant, they include a lot of BDSM play in it, like tied up and blindfolded and a gag and helpless. So I'm not really sure where you two fall on this spectrum, because if you do play with some of the BDSM stuff, you can tie her up in a chair and blindfold her, and then you can ride her her harness and dildo. You can tie her spread eagle on her back to the bed and blindfold her and have the harness and dildo on, and you can ride her as well. So that's an option if you two are into that. If you're not, it's a little tougher, because basically what you're asking her to do is to take control and take the reins. But when, again, always this happens, one of the most important things you need to do is to ask her. Ask her why she decided not to play with the toys anymore. Ask her what bothered her about it. There is information that you can give her about prostate stimulation and how pleasurable it is for men that will hopefully help her to understand why it feels so good for you. And perhaps she needs some reassurance that no matter how much you love it, that you are never going to go out there and replace her with a guy. So perhaps she needs some reassurance on that part. Another thing that might be going on is the harnesses, many times women find them to be not very feminine. If she has at all looked at those harnesses, or you have talked with her about them, with the strap-on harnesses, and she might have looked at them and thought, well, that looks all like BDSM, you know, leather kind of intense, and I'm afraid of losing my femininity. That's a possibility, too, if she has seen those. It sounds like you guys have just explored the toys. And it sounds like you were doing fine for a while, and then she changed. So there's got to be some kind of fear sitting there that all of a sudden triggered her to stop and say, no, I don't want to do this anymore. So underneath all of this, it's really, really, really important that you, on a regular basis, rock her world sexually and give her exactly what she wants and more of it. Because if you do that, you will find that she is very likely much more willing to do the things that you love that maybe aren't her favorite things. So make sure that you are a good lover. Make sure that you are asking if she is satisfied and offering more and offering to do the special things that she loves often. So that part has to be in place. And then I guess I would just suggest talking about it. If that part is in place, if it's not in place, do that first. Because you need to have some balance. If there's a part of the whole playing with your ass with toys thing that she feels like, well, what am I getting out of this? This is just work. This is no fun for me. Well, then make it fun for her during the other times when you guys are doing other kinds of sex, and rock her world. Like I say, rock her world to the point where she's laying there after she's had the most amazing orgasms, or two or three or however many, and she is saying, wow, honey, that was so amazing. What can I do for you? That is the mood that you want to get her in. Because you're wanting her to do something so she doesn't seem to be too happy about. But it's also really, really important to find out why she doesn't want to do it anymore. So simple communication. Ask her about it. Ask her why she doesn't want to do that anymore. It might be fears that you would be willing to give her information about and that she could get over. So communication, rock her world in bed, and then the whole submissive dominant thing. It's not inherently dominant to fuck someone. It requires being the active partner, but you could be the one to call the shots and tell her what to do when, and she could just do it. So she could be backing off because she's really not wanting to be the one who's running the show. And you can actually run the show and get fucked with a strap on. You can actually do it. You just give your partner instructions and tell her what to do. And then many times the positions that are better for that type of thing, so that she doesn't feel like she has to run the show, are the two that I mentioned, laying on her back with the strap on you ride her, or a chair with no arms, a very sturdy chair with no arms. She's sitting on it with the strap on, and then you straddle her and sit down on it facing her. So those two are positions that don't require a lot of skill. There is absolutely a fair amount of learning curve with strap-on sex, which I've talked about before. So that could put her off. So it sounds like you're kind of riding a line there, trying to make sure there's nothing else that puts her off about it. Should you two get to the point where you have harnesses and strap-ons and things, let her do the positions for a while that require the least out of her, the least skill, because you don't want to get her frustrated and have her bail on you again. And it could be just something that she just really doesn't like. You know, I give you guys all the information I can about trying to persuade your partner, but when it comes down to it, it might just be something she doesn't enjoy, is playing with your ass. If that's the case, then find all kinds of lovely things to put in your ass while you fuck her, and that way at least you can get a lot of stimulation yourself. And then if you want to have stimulation by fucking yourself, you can do a bunch of things. You can get the suction cup on the wall of the shower. You can get you can actually get one of the double-ended dildos, and you can use the bulb part that usually goes in the woman as a handle, and it makes it really easy to fuck yourself. It's totally awesome. So those are my suggestions. Good luck if you end up experiencing pegging, which I really hope you do. Please write us and let us know, and I will happily play the music for you. Okay, moving right along here. Hi, Ruby, I have a question for you. My wife and I are looking into a bench for pegging and whatnot. I have seen the ones that look like a sawhorse with padded leg and arm pads. Curious if you have any experience with that style of bench or any recommendations. Thank you for any input. I do, actually. I do have a little experience with that. Some time ago, you will recall, if you've been listening to my podcast, a man named Mr. Great Kisser. He used the spanking bench at one place that we visited, which was exactly as you describe. It was like a sawhorse. It had padded place for his torso to be, and then his knees. And it was long enough to where not only his knees were on the lower padded railings, but his elbows and hands were too. I have very limited experience myself with being on those. The one thing that I found when I got on one was that I wanted something for my hands to hold on to. And it might have been because my legs are so long that the distance between my hips and my knees was longer than was allowed for on that particular style of bench. He seemed to be much more comfortable on it than I was. Was it good for pegging? Yeah, it actually was. But, you know, all of that is dependent on height. My legs are quite long. The height of the spanking bench turned out to be just particularly perfect, so that when he was on it and scooted back a little bit, I could fuck him from behind, and it was pretty cool. So there's that. I did a search on spanking benches, and there's a whole bunch of them out there, and they do tend to be fairly expensive. They have a lot of different features as well. What I would suggest, having just told you that story about how it didn't fit me very well, is to find one that is adjustable to a certain extent. And I do really think that it would be great to have something for your hands to grab onto, rather than just to have them your elbows sitting on that padded rail. Etsy seems to be a pretty intense place for what is called BDSM furniture or dungeon furniture. There are some people out there making some very nice spanking benches, anywhere from like $200 for the least to $500 for the most. So have a good time shopping. Those are my best suggestions. And yes, it is important to have it padded. If you're going to be there for a while, you want to be comfortable. Absolutely. Okay, moving right along. Here we go to the next one. Hello, Ruby. I'm so glad I found your site. It's very sexy to know that there are girls out there like my wife, and she's happy to know that too. I love fucking my wife. I love to fuck her with a plug in my ass, and she tells me to squeeze down on it when I push myself inside her. It feels amazing. I love it when I hear her telling me that she's going to fuck me so good. I get hard thinking about it. Sometimes, I push a plug in my ass while waiting for her to come home. I love it when she fucks me the way that she does. She likes to fuck me shallow, then deep. Then she might leave it in me all the way and pump it without pulling it back. We love to 69, too. She will go down on me while fingering my ass with more than one finger. So far, she's put three in me. While she does, I'm fingering her with three fingers and flicking her clit with my tongue. Ecstasy! Oh yeah, when she's fucking me, she feels so good that she has multiple orgasms. I love it. I love to be fucked, and I love all the things she says while she's fucking me. I have the most amazing orgasms. There is a lot that we do to change it up, and it is always hot. I just thought I would drop you a line to tell you for your to thank you for your site, and to let some of your male readers who are considering pegging hear from a monogamous, blissfully happy, parentheses, ecstatic, married man. Oh, I'm 45 and she is 50. Even though we are both lucky to have what we do, I feel like I'm more lucky because I get to fuck and I get to be fucked. I love saying that. I can't wait for her to come home so she can fuck me so good. I need to be fucked by her all the time, just as much as I need to fuck her. Thanks, Ruby. Have fun. There was an awful lot of fucking in that letter. Goodness sakes. You know, I read it through and I got it and I thought, okay, is this just like a wanking, you know, sort of letter of where the guy writes and he just gets so turned on and everything? But I love the encouragement for other men who are thinking about this to go for it. And it sounds like you and your wife are having a lovely time, and that was probably a little bit of an erotic thing for everybody to hear there. So I hope you all enjoyed it. Glad you two are having a great time, and we'll move on to the next letter after all the fucking. All right, here we go. Hi, Ruby. Hope you're well. If I could ask you for some advice, please. After some research on what our positions are in our relationship, we both agree we are equally dominant and run our lives 50-50. But oddly enough, she prefers to be more of a bottom sexually. I would love her to be a dom of sorts. So we are more of a switch than it seems. Now is the tricky part. I do love giving her the attention she wants and deserves, and have written her many a story or scene where she dons the strap on to take me. But she says pegging is not my thing. After my last poem that I wrote her and inserted many pictures of her as a goddess and more than one with me bottoming for her. Plus, she changes the subject and talking about fantasies, etc. regularly. I've even told her that we can live any fantasy she has. This is an ongoing dream for me to be done by her. Can you help? Oh, you need to just talk to her about it. It sounds like, I don't know. It's hard for me to tell from your letter whether or not you guys have just had a flat-out conversation about exploring pegging together. You can take some of the advice that I gave the previous listener in that there are ways to experience pegging to make it more or less submissive or dominant. Now, if you have all these fantasies of her being totally dominant and she's just not down for that, then that is what it is. You have to deal with it. But having a conversation with her about that would be a good thing, and also having a conversation about the pegging itself. That is the best place to start. Now, she may look at pegging as just dominant and she has to do it all and she's not into that. She may have watched porn and gotten some idea that there's only one way to do it and you have to be like the dominatrix that's all intense and everything. So there's lots of things. I'm thinking that perhaps those stories and scenes that you wrote for her were a little more onto the dominant and taking control side than really she felt comfortable with. Many women coming into dominance, it feels very foreign at first. It feels like you don't know what the hell to do. You have no clue how to be dominant, what to say, what to do. It does not come naturally in the beginning. So many of us women, well, all of us really, have been trained really not to be dominant by society. And letting go of that and actually being willing to grab up the reins and go for it, it takes a big transition for some of us. It did for me. I knew I wanted to be dominant. I knew that my fantasies were dominant, but I didn't. It felt so foreign to me when I first started letting that part of myself out that it was kind of uncomfortable. That might be happening for her. Ongoing dream for you. You need to just sit down and ask her about it. I'm not sure how much information she has about pegging and why it feels so good to you. If she's a G-spot woman and loves having her G-spot stimulated, you can tell her how much the prostate relates to that and is a very similar type of pleasure. See, sometimes it's always a combination of communication, information, and patience. That is the magic formula, guys. That is what the deal is. So sometimes you have to figure out which is lacking. Patience is always a good thing to have. You don't want to hammer away and put her off. But at the same time, if you can find out if she's lacking information or needs reassurance in certain areas, you know, I don't have other information as well, because all those things are possibilities. She might think that, you know, you're gay and blah, blah, blah. It does sound like it's more of a problem about her not wanting to be dominant, though, especially since you've written her the scenes. So talk with her and perhaps find out if she would be willing to engage in sensual pegging with you, where it is not this big domination scene. It is just something that a loving couple, no dominant, no submissive, do together to experience sex in a different way, because that can absolutely be done. There's a lot of couples out there that prefer that. They don't like those overtones of dominant and submissive. And then those words that you were talking about, those words that you had, that you used, top and bottom, those are more appropriate in that case, because that's really all it is top or bottom. All it means is who is actually doing the fucking and who is receiving. So if she's willing to do that, and you can soothe her concerns about it being a dominant activity, give that a try. And let us know how it goes. Let us know if we can play the music for you. Good luck, sir. Okay, after talking with all of these people about let me know if I can play the music for you, guess what? We have pegging celebration time. Okay, this is a back and forth between myself and a guy, so I'm going to read you all of it. It starts here. I just wanted to thank you. I've seen a lot of your comments floating around, which led me to read some of your articles. You helped me realize a lot about myself. You've also helped me get to the point where my fiancé is even more excited about our first pegging experience than I am. She's taking the plunge tonight. Thanks so much for all your insight and information. This was on the Reddit forums, by the way. I wrote back to this man and said, really appreciate you letting me know all this. So glad I could help, really. I love knowing that couples are having amazing amounts of pleasure due in part to the information I put out there. Let me know how the pegging went. I'd love to play the music for you on my podcast. Happy pegging, Ruby. So he writes back. It's like weeks later, right? But he writes back and he says, I'm truly very sorry that it has taken this long for me to reply, especially since I'm essentially starstruck that you got back with me. Everything has gone very well for us. She enjoys it as much as I do. Pegging has become a regular and exciting part of our sex life. Thanks again for all of your insight. We definitely owe you one. If you ever could find use of an attractive younger couple in your blog, podcasts, which I have yet to check out, seminars, or anything else, please don't hesitate to ask. I would love to see you become more mainstream and become a better known advocate for the community that is obviously much larger than shows at first glance. Thank you not only for being an educator in sexual practice, but for your efforts to promote sexual health. You would not believe the amount of legitimacy that it brings to your image, along with the desired educational benefits that I'm sure you were going for. Look us up if you ever need anything. Thanks again and again and again, 1,000 times. Yay! I'm so happy you guys are having so much fun. I'm glad that it went so well. I love more details, but this is still a very satisfying letter to get. You know, I read it and I went, oh, come on, dude, give us a few details. But one, yes, there is something that you could do for me. There is absolutely something you could do for me. You can ask your fiancé what it was that really helped to persuade her to explore that with you. What piece of information was it that, or pieces of information, did she get from looking at my website and or perusing things that I had written that helped her to decide it would be a fun thing to do, that helped to soothe any fears that she had, that basically, you know, kicked her over the line into, yeah, I want to do this with you, and got her really excited about it. I always love to hear this kind of input from the women. The reason being is because, oh, I've long wished for the magic wand to create more women who love to do this for their men, because as you know now, it's an amazing thing for couples to experience. Not just an amazing thing pleasurably for you, but an amazing thing to deepen intimacy between you, and it's just an extraordinary thing to have as another choice in your sexual treasure chest of choices that you have when you make love. So ask her what got her there, because that helps me know what to tell other women. It really, really does. And yay, good for you guys. Happy pegging. Wow. Okay, this has gone on long enough, everyone. You can leave your questions at 805-500-6544. And you know what? I freaking checked the line to make sure it was taking messages. It's working, you guys. It's working. So instead of writing me all these messages, please feel free to call in and I will play your lovely voice with your question on the air, okay? You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer, and I have a Facebook page and a profile. A thumbs up on the page would be awesome. You can subscribe to my blog, which has articles and sexy pics and things that never show up in my podcast. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. My podcast is available on iTunes and also can be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. If you want to go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me a cool review, that would be totally awesome. My erotic stories are now in the Amazon Kindle store and available for purchase. All you have to do is go to the Kindle store and put in Ruby Writer. You can send all your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. But I'd much rather you call and ask me them or tell me them. And last but not least, I would still like to encourage anyone who's interested in leaving me a recording of their orgasm to call that number, 805-500-6544, and go for it. Thanks for downloading and listening, everyone. Happy pegging.